Fine, thanks. All good. It's going gangbusters. Just great. When people ask us how we're doing, we often say fine, even if it's not always the case. If you aren't fine, say something. To get help, call InfoSocial 811. Because talking is the first step towards getting better. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
You know, it's the boy Dash all the way from Grenada and it's tuned in to C-Cut 90.3 FM.
What's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Yes, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and this evening we have a special guest in studios with us, on the air with us. Goes by the name Keisha Lamptey, and she's coming to talk to us about her company, Nuance Self-Care, which is a Montreal-based e-commerce store that handcrafts natural, vegan, eco-friendly, and inclusive skin and hair products. High-quality hair and skin products are practically inaccessible to black and indigenous people of color in Canada. I was about to say Jamaica. What? The products that do exist are often too expensive, out of stock, or lack diversity in terms of darker skin tones and curly hair types. That's why Nuance Self-Care was created to cater to all skin and curly, kinky, wavy hair types. Their name, Nuance, signifies the variety of skin tones and hair textures that are present in minority communities. Keisha!
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here this evening with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
It's a pleasure. I've been seeing you post on Instagram and stuff like that, and I said, you know what? Gotta get her in to talk about what she's doing, because this is a good thing that you're doing in the community. Like I've looked for skin products myself, And often that's exactly what I see, you know, like stuff that's, it's too expensive. And like, I still buy it, but sometimes it's like, it hurts the pocket.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, you know, the last 2 years has been really special. How have you been? How have you been during this whole COVID situation? How has life been for you?
So it's kind of a mix of emotions for me, because I feel like COVID allowed me to shift my perspective a little bit in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the very beginning, I was working at a corporate job, and I was kind of like not really happy.
Okay.
And so I ended up quitting in August 2020.
Wow.
And like that really, ever since I kind of like reshifted what I was doing. And that's kind of why I started focusing on my company.
Yeah.
Because I had more time and I was doing a lot of research then. So it's like a good and bad thing. You know, okay. Obviously stuff that's happening is hard, but mm-hmm. it allowed me personally to shift what I was doing. So yeah, it's kind of like a learning opportunity.
And tell us a little bit about yourself, because I still remember very vividly when we first met at Chocolate Jungle. You were on stage, and I saw you, and I saw your energy. And I don't normally do that when I see people, but like, I felt like I had to tell you to keep doing whatever you're doing, because you're amazing, and you have amazing energy. And so you were dancing. You were dancing as part of Leah McFly's team of dancers mm-hmm. on stage. What have you been doing? What have you been up to? Like, how did you go from, you know, you were dancing on stage to now you're creating nuanced self-care, hair products, skin products, all that good stuff. And eco-friendly, natural, and vegan.
So, yeah. You know. So basically, like, right before the pandemic started, I was, like, doing gigs and stuff. And then as soon as it started, everything was canceled. And, you know, so I was still dancing, just not, like, in a professional setting anymore.
Okay. So when you say gigs, you meant you had dance gigs.
Dance gigs, shows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was still, I would say in 2020, I was still doing dance battles.
Right.
And even last year, I was doing dance battles, but it's just that it wasn't the same. There used to be one every 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and now it's like every few months, you know, so they really cut down on them.
Yeah.
So I would say I'm still dancing. It's just that it's not like before where, you know, there's a party and I'm dancing at a party or a show or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And how did you come to self-care products? How did that come about?
Yeah. So, I was a marketing student at Concordia, and I graduated in 2021.
Okay.
So, I was always kind of like learning about business and everything. And I actually went on exchange in 2019. And so I was lucky because I traveled before everything happened.
Yeah.
And so I was like living in the Netherlands, and I learned about like soap making and like different stuff like that. And even before the Netherlands, I was always like making hair products for myself,
mm-hmm.
just doing research and making hair products, but they weren't good quality because I was just learning. I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
So I would say in 2020 is really when I like made it professional and like did the work in order to make what I have today.
Mm-hmm.
And I met up with somebody that I dance with. Her name is Adeline.
Mm-hmm.
And we partnered up, and we were able to make what we have today together. So we did a lot of research. We did Zoom meetings. We did like testing on our friends, on us, on people. And that's how we were able to make nuances.
Okay. And why was this important for you?
It was important for me because when I was going to, you know, Pharmaprix, Jean Couture, I couldn't find anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to get like just shampoo. It was like a hard thing.
Right.
And you remember what happened at Jean Couture when they closed like the section for black hair?
I heard about that. And I was just like, what do you mean you're closing the section for? It made no sense, but please enlighten us.
Yeah. It's not like I go to Jean Couture and, you know, but
right.
It affects people. There are people that's their way of getting
Oh, during the pandemic, they closed off that section.
Yeah, because I don't know, they didn't really have a reason.
All those products have COVID in them. Like what?
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. Why it was only they're that
not,
section?
They're not essential items.
Yeah, that's what they said. They said it wasn't essential.
All right.
So, yeah. That's an example, like just stuff like that happening in Quebec and Canada wide. I was like, I need to do something. And even for myself, I would order products from the States because I couldn't find stuff here.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that can get expensive, right? Because you're ordering from the States, you're converting the dollar. So
yeah.
if it's more expensive, $15, it's like, oh yeah, that's good. And then when you convert it, it's like 20 something.
Exactly.
Then you have
duty. Duty taxes, like right. At the border, you have duty taxes.
But even before that, you have shipping fees.
Yeah.
And then you have the duty taxes that may or may not be included in the original price. So when it gets delivered to you, you might end up with like a bill that you have to pay right then and there when you're getting the delivery. I used to work at UPS, and we would get CODs all the time. And we'd have to make the client pay for it. We couldn't leave the package at the door, you know? So, yeah. Or if you know that it's coming, that it's going to have a COD, you can pay it online. But sometimes people don't know because they're not checking, you know, they expect to get their product. Why are you charging me three times?
Exactly.
To receive a product. Wow.
So all of these things, you know, I was like, it doesn't make sense for people that are living here to not have access to good quality products and products that are not $50 either, you know, because all our products are under $20 because we wanted everyone to be like, I could afford this.
Okay, you made it very accessible economically.
Yeah.
And why is it that you can't use Garnier Fructis or... You know, the generic, they're specialty stuff, but why is it that stuff doesn't work for your hair?
It's not made for our hair. So there's a lot of stuff like parabens, sulfates, all these things that are not natural.
Okay.
So it's actually bad for you. And these things are linked to cancer.
Oh.
They're linked to a bunch of diseases.
Okay.
So that's one reason. The second thing is that it's not made for our hair. So our hair, we require different things that somebody with wavy or straight hair does not require.
Like what, for example? Like what?
Well, we need butters. We need vegetable oils. Like, for example, butters would be shea butter, mango butter.
Okay.
For oils, we would need coconut oil, jojoba oil, aloe vera, like, those kind of things that somebody with straight hair, that would be too thick for them. That's what our hair needs because our hair is thicker, obviously.
Right.
So we need things that are more nourishing.
Our hair is thicker. You mean like each strand of hair is thicker than straightened hair? What do you mean
it's
by that?
It's thicker, like it's fuller. There's more volume to it versus somebody who has straight strands.
Right.
If I put shea butter on somebody who has straight hair, it's going to weigh their hair down.
Right.
Understand, but for us it's actually going to nourish the hair because it's a different texture.
Right.
Yeah.
And so how did you figure out all of these, because this is a lot of information that you've collected and collated. How did you figure that out? Like how did you first realize that, you know, Garnier Fructis or whatever other products is not good for me? How was the process of finding out that I need something else?
So it was actually a really long process. So I started off with permed hair.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped perming at 18. Wow. So it really took me a while to realize. And through the process of going natural is when I learned about my hair the best, because that's when I shaved my head. That's when I was like, what goes in my hair, you know? Because I was putting those stuff. I was putting that shampoo, Garnier, all of that. I didn't know.
Right.
And finally, I switched over and I was like, these things don't work. So I started making shampoo for myself
what was the difference? Like when you had permed hair, you were using all those products. the Guardian, the whatever else is there. And then when you had, like, when your natural hair started growing, what did you notice that made you say, these products are not working for me?
Well, obviously, when my hair was permed, it was straight, right? Yeah. So it worked. Mm-hmm. And then the moment that I stopped perming, my hair was the way it is now. It's curly. It's an afro. Mm-hmm. And obviously, that's not going to penetrate into my hair. So it was actually making my hair worse. It was damaging it.
It was damaging your hair.
Yes.
So what were some of the symptoms that you noticed in terms of your hair being damaged?
I was losing a lot of hair. Okay. So a lot of hair loss. The ends of my hair were like split, you know, they mm-hmm. just weren't, it wasn't like, because when you have a healthy curl, you can see it visually versus okay. when your hair is damaged, it kind of like the end just splits at the Freeze. Bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was that happening, losing my hair, lots of dandruff too.
Okay.
It was itchy. Like it wasn't cleaning my hair for a shampoo. It wasn't really getting into my hair and cleaning it properly.
Like getting down to the scalp.
Yeah, it was just kind of the ends, you know.
So like, so it wasn't basically your hair became a force field against all of these negative chemicals. It was like, no, yeah, don't get into my scalp. Forget about that. and so what? How did you start making your own stuff?
So for the shampoo, I took African black soap.
Yeah.
And I started melting it. And I really liked doing that. That was like my first product ever. Mm-hmm. However, today that is not my shampoo. That was just like a starter thing that right. helps me. But that was the first thing. And then eventually I was doing like body butters and face creams and kind of shifting. So my hair journey is different than my skin. My skin journey was like acne and dryness and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So for acne, I was like using turmeric. I was using aloe vera, just trying a lot of things on my face and hair.
Okay.
So yeah, these things were things that I was trying because of problems that I had. So whether it was acne, whether it was, you know, the chemical stuff in the products. So right. I was trying all these natural things for myself. And then eventually I was like, I feel like other people could benefit from this too.
100%. You know,
so that was my journey with it.
Okay, so like when with the acne, like how did you start looking at different products? Like, what were you doing? Because you always start somewhere and then you end up in a different mm-hmm. place, hopefully, that help in a successful place, we'll say.
Yeah.
So what were you doing before?
I was using like Neutrogena and those kind of cleansers and. I remember at one point my face was burned, like right. it was pink, just wow. from all the, I don't know, I think it was just, there was, it was too, I don't know how to explain it.
Astringent,
or maybe it was the pH, like the level was off or mm-hmm. whatever, but it burnt my face. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I didn't know what to do at that point. So I actually went to Miami with my aunt was there and she told me, try aloe vera cream.
Right.
And so she bought me this cream and it was just out there. The only ingredient was aloe vera.
Right.
So I started putting that on my face and I didn't have acne anymore.
It cleared up the acne.
It cleared it completely. It was crazy. So then I came back here, Montreal, and I started just using aloe vera, trying it out and trying to see how I could like mimic this. Because mm-hmm. that was the one thing that helped my face.
It's interesting how like we have all of these chemical products that are created and supposed to help us in quotation marks, but they actually do more damage than good. It's mm-hmm. proven that they cause cancers. Like the amount of times I've heard, you know, products that you put on your skin, you know, especially those products that are not made with majority, if not 100%, natural stuff, cause all kind of skin cancers and, mm-hmm. and things, because our skin is the biggest organ on our body is our skin.
Exactly.
And our yeah. skin absorbs everything. Right? Yep. So yeah. you put a cream on your skin's going to absorb that cream and any chemicals that are in there, it absorbs it and it distributes it throughout your body.
Mm-hmm.
So my question then becomes like, how do you, how do you decide what to do? Like, how do you know that, for example, with acne, how do you know that it's not the food that you're eating and it's the products that you're eating? Because a lot of the time, like for me, if I consume a lot of dairy products, I will mm-hmm. get all kind of pimples and, of yeah. course, you know, mucus and whatnot just goes up. That's why I'm, like, mostly vegan myself. I will eat fish every once in a while because, you know, I need some ackee and salt fish in my life.
I was going to say.
but yeah, like, how do you cope with that?
So it's a balance because everything that you intake, whether it's food, whether it's products, is going to affect your skin, it's going to affect your hair.
Right.
So if you're eating, like you said, dairy, for me, when I eat dairy, I break out. Mm-hmm. When I eat chocolate, I break out. I love chocolate, but when I eat it, I start getting pimples everywhere. It's really what you're eating, but also your products, because like I said, anything that you're taking in is going to affect your skin.
Right. And since the products, your skin absorbs it, it can have the negative effect as well.
And also I noticed the more water that I drink, the less breakouts that I have. So that's something. It's really everything you're taking in.
Wow. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Keisha. And she is the co-founder of Nuance Self-Care, which is a Montreal-based e-commerce store that handcrafts natural, vegan, eco-friendly, and inclusive skin and hair products. We do have to take a quick break. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Let you know that you're a downer. Now Cara Patties is on a fast break with Veggie Patty leading the charge. The pass is down deep to Goat Patty. Goat Patty passes baseline to Beef Patty. Beef Patty shoots from downtown at the buzzer. And bingo! It's in! It's in! Cara Patties wins the game and is now the world champions! The number one in Montreal. Come on down to 9550 Jean Milo in LaSalle for the best patties, roadies, jerk chicken, and more. Or call us at 438-387-4004. Cara Patties, the champions of Montreal.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I am joined by Keisha, who is Nuance Self Care's co-founder, and the products that they create that are available are often expensive, out of stock, lack diversity in terms of darker skin tones and skin tones and curly hair types. And so Nuance Self-Care was created to cater to all skins, curly, kinky, wavy hair types, everything. Basically, if you blackety black black black, Nuance Self-Care is for you. All right, let's just break it down to brass tacks here. So you started experimenting when you decided, you know what, big chop, going natural. The products that I used to use on my permed hair doesn't work anymore. It's negatively affecting my good hair, my natural hair, which is good yes. hair. I want to say all natural hair is good hair. I'll say that because I can't say it. And so you started by melting black African black soul.
Yes.
So where did you get that idea? Like, because I've heard of melting shea butter, but, and mm-hmm. I understand that because, you know, shea butter comes in its concentrated form. And so you have to put mm-hmm. in a little bit of water, maybe, if you want essential oils in there for it to smell a certain type of way. And, you know, maybe you'll put in some aloe vera and you whisk it until it becomes, you know, nice and fluffy. And then you put it on your skin or whatever. Well, you melted black soap.
Yes. So that it's actually really good to wash your hair. It's like a known thing. So I was right. like, oh, I heard about it and I wanted to try it.
Okay.
So, yeah. I follow this YouTuber called Natural.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of her, but she did that and she recommended it, so I tried it and
so, it really so worked. How out. Did you like, how do you do it? Like, how do you melt black soap? I mean, I've bought black soap before.
Yeah.
And it's tough. Like, it is like you could kill somebody with that if you throw it too high, you know?
Yeah, you take it and you slice it okay. like butter.
Right.
And then you put it into like a measuring cup. Okay. You put water, you put essential oils, you put coconut oil, all of that. And okay. you just put it on the stove and you leave it there. And then it becomes shampoo.
Okay. Wait.
So it becomes.
You put it on the stove? Wait, what?
You put it on the stove. So you. Because what you're doing is you're heating it.
You put it
no,
in,
like
the
in the measuring cup.
Okay.
Into another a double boiler, sorry.
Okay.
Into another,
okay. I was confused. You know? I was like, you put the measuring
no,
cup
no, no,
straight
no, no.
on the
you
fire?
Put it into, yeah, okay. you put it into a pot,
okay.
and then you put the measuring cup, you melt it, you leave it for like 10 minutes, and then
okay.
it melts.
Then it melts. Okay. Yeah. So you don't have to be like stirring it or nothing like that while it's melting? You
can, but okay. what I do, because it becomes kind of like very, it's a soap, right? So
right.
it becomes, there's a lot of bubbles that come, because it
okay.
goes through, you know?
Right,
so then you
yes.
put it into the jar and you shake it.
Okay.
And then once you shake it, then it becomes like shampoo.
Okay. Okay.
So you put it into a shampoo bottle and then that's how you, but that, this is like a DIY.
Do it yourself.
You know, if
yeah.
you're starting, this is not something that we have personally right now. It's just how I started.
Well, I
want to
know, like, we
yeah.
have an hour and a half and I want to know how you got from point A
yeah.
to point XYZ, because, you know, you went from just doing this at home, and not a lot of people know this. Like, I myself, I have a friend who told me about like shea butter and whipping it and stuff like that, but this is new to me. So I'm sure that there are listeners out there in radio land that's new to them too. Like, I never thought of making my own shampoo, because when you said you made your own shampoo, I was like, What do you mean you made your own shampoo? Like, wait, what? How? How could you do that?
It is shampoo. It's just that it's not, it doesn't have all these things that a normal shampoo would have in the store, you know? So it doesn't have 70,000 chemicals. It's just
African shea butter, your water, African black soap, water, and essential oils.
That's it. That's the like DIY my first shampoo experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so can you, when you made that shampoo, is it, you could also shower with it like on your skin as well, or it was like strictly for your hair?
I've never tried it on my skin. Because if you take black soap and you can wash your skin with black soap, yes.
Right.
But in terms of adding all those extra things, I didn't put it on my skin. Because I thought that there were too many things in it.
Like too many oils and stuff like that?
Yeah. Okay. Like it's not a soap. Because you know how you can get liquid soap?
Right.
To me, it's different than hair. Like I just didn't think that it could be on my skin. I've never tried it. Maybe. Okay. But.
Okay. All right. So you tried the African soap thing, and then you said, all right, moving forward, you want to, you fast forward to 2020, 2021?
It was 2020. 2020? No, African soap was 2016.
Okay.
It was a while back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So, African soap. So then, in between African soap and creating nuanced self-care and doing the experimentation, like what were you doing? You were just using the African soap then, or did you find something else?
So I was using the African soap 2016. I was trying different variations of it and it wasn't working out for me. So then 2019, that's when I learned about soap making, like how to
that's
make
when you went
soap.
To the Netherlands.
Right. Yeah. And then I came back, and then 2020 is when I like talked to my business partner today about hair care and skincare. And she was actually the hair care person. Like she was doing her own stuff and already making shampoo, making gel. So then naturally she became more the hair care person. I became the skincare person because I was already, you know, doing body soap and doing lotion and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So she today is the hair care expert and I'm really the skin person.
Okay. And okay, so what made you decide to shift from hair to skin?
I think it was my personal journey. So it was really with the whole thing with my skin, I really wanted like clear skin. That was
your goal.
My goal in life at one point. And I was like, how can I do this for myself and for other people?
Mm-hmm.
And then I just kind of shifted that in that route. But then for her, for my business partner, I think it was, she loves, you know, her hair. She loves doing natural hairstyles. And that was that's what she wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So in combination, we were able to create something that cater to both, you know, skin and hair types.
Gotcha. I find that it doesn't matter how much cream I put on my face always dries out, especially in the winter. But like, I always find that it's flaking off and I'm just like, what the hell is going on? So what kind of products would you recommend to someone who's having this kind of skin trouble?
Because
one thing I realized is that, and this I didn't know before, but like face, the stuff that you put on your face and the stuff that you put on your body needs to be different.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
So for the face, because you're saying your skin dries out, definitely a face cream. So for me, when I get out of the shower, I put a face cream right away because my face will come out white.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's hot, like you get out, your face is white, so then you need to put something cream as soon as you get out, and that lasts the whole day for me.
Okay. Me, it doesn't last the whole day. But then again, I'm using the chemicals, the cancer products.
So you need
products.
To try nuances then.
I need to try nuances.
The face cream is, the face cream is really, really amazing because the pH is, so for your face, you need a pH that matches your face. The pH of your product needs to match the pH of your face. So it needs to be...
So what does that mean? Because people might not know what pH is.
So pH is the potential of hydrogen.
Okay.
And every product that has water in it has pH.
Has a pH balance.
pH balance. So it can go from 1 to 14.
Okay. Okay. And
under 7, so water has a pH of 7. It's neutral.
Mm-hmm.
But under 7, that is acidic, and over 8 is basic.
Right.
You know?
Is basic?
So for basic, like, I'm pretty sure, like, milk or stuff like that would have a higher pH. I'm trying to think of an example of something that's a higher pH. But anything that's over 8 is going to be a base.
Okay.
It's going to be opposite of acid, because you have a base and you have an acid.
Alkaline,
yeah. So, for example, vinegar. Mm-hmm. Vinegar is going to be acidic. If you put salt, like I used to put salt water too on my face. That was something I tried. That was very acidic and it was burning my face.
Right. Yeah.
So you need for a face cream or a body lotion, the pH that you're striving for is under 5. So four to five would be the best pH, I would say, for your face.
For your face and your body. Wouldn't you want something that has more? Because you said that below 7 is acidic, no?
Yes, but for your face, like if you're struggling with acne, you're going to want something that's acidic, but not, you don't want something that's 1, because that'll burn you.
Okay.
Like in your stomach, the pH is 2.
Okay, like, yeah, because you got, you literally have acid in your stomach.
Yeah, it needs to break down everything that you're eating.
Exactly.
So obviously, if you have 2 on your face, not good. You need something higher.
It's
going
to break
2.
Down. Okay. But you don't need something that's like water. Because water is not going to do anything.
You can if you have normal skin, because there's different skin types.
Okay.
And normal skin, anything you put is fine in general.
But what's normal skin?
So it's a concept. It's kind of weird because there's skin types. So there's normal skin, there's dry skin, there's oily skin, and there's combination skin. So combination skin combines dry and oily.
That's me. That is me.
Yeah. So that's oily very, very difficult. Yeah, it's very difficult to take care of because your forehead is going to be different than your cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
So there are products out there that cater to your forehead and to your cheek. Like, it's crazy.
How does one figure this out? Is it that...
Research, no, but like, books.
Like, first you have to realize in yourself something's going on. Like, my forehead... My nose is greasy, but my cheekbones is dry. Like, you have to realize that first.
And then you do the research.
Wow.
And you're like, you could just research. My skin is, my cheeks are dry. Why is that? And then you'll get, that's how I started. And I was really, it's like a loophole. You just keep a rabbit hole. You just keep, you keep
diving
doing research
deeper and deeper and deeper.
Deeper, and then you're like, wow, this is so cool. Like, for me, I'm like nerdy, so I was just researching, buying books, trying to understand, watching videos, and
you find a lot of books that spoke specifically about melanated skin and curly hair?
I didn't find, there are books on obviously curly hair. Melanated skin I did not find. Did not find. Not that they don't exist. I was when I was doing the research, I was in the Netherlands, so
You had a limited limited access to to blackness.
Yes, but I'm sure. Like I do my research online.
Right.
So I do have books, but I also look online, and I kind of, because a lot of the research does not talk about melanated skin.
Mm-hmm.
It'll have like 1 or 2 sentences. So I have to fill in the blanks. I have to be like, okay, this is why. You know, I have to do more research than somebody else who's not focusing on melanated skin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what are some of the products that you have? Like, you have skincare products and you have hair care products, but what are like the lines of products? And tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so we have a skincare line. That's how we started. We launched the skincare line in December 2020. Mm-hmm. And so it was the face cream, the body butter, which is, you know, shea butter, mango butter.
Okay.
Then we have the lip balm, and then we have soap. So the soaps are, so we have lavender, we have Himalayan salt, we have charcoal.
Okay. But earlier you said, you said that putting salt on your face was damaging to your face.
Yes, it's not a face soap, it's a body soap. Yeah.
Okay.
So currently, because most of our products are body products, the only face products are the lip balm and the face cream.
Okay.
So my goal last year was to release face products, so like a cleanser, a toner, and all of that. Mm-hmm. But it requires a lot of research that I'm still doing today.
Okay.
And I just wasn't able to get it out last year. So my goal this year is to do that.
Okay. And so tell us some of the ingredients. So I'm fascinated by this Himalayan soap because Himalayan salt soap.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
Yeah. So what I do is I take, there's grapefruit also in it.
Okay.
So I take grapefruit.
I can't use that.
You're allergic?
Yeah. Like I have a small allergy to it, but I figured out when I got sick and I was eating like copious amounts of oranges because I got a bad cold. And so I was consuming a lot of orange, and then my face, all beneath my eye along the cheek, just turned red, 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 red. Like it would happen. It would happen from time to time. Like if I ate a lot of oranges or I ate a lot of grapefruits, any citrus, it would happen from time to time.
Any citrus.
Yeah. But like I have to take, like, I would have to be eating or drinking this stuff like every day.
Okay.
Like if I have a glass of grapefruit juice once a week, I'm not going to break out. But sometimes, you know, sometimes we like to consume in excess. And, mm-hmm. And yeah, I learned it was really bad. Like, at one point I was at my partner's place and she had like a facial cleanser, like a soap,
mm-hmm.
and it had citrus in it. And I didn't read the ingredients and I put it on my face and I came out and like all of it's, and it's always the same place too. It's right below my eyes on my cheekbones. Just burn. And it turns really, really red. And then it gets dry and then it flakes off like dead skin, basically.
Oh my gosh.
So grapefruit, Himalayan salt.
So what I was about to tell you, the face cream is citrus, mm-hmm. the body butter is citrus.
Oh, God!
Yeah, so I was like, oh, no. But yeah, so they're all citrus, but they're the what makes a citrus is the essential oil. And the essential oil is under 1%, which means that it's not going to be rough on your skin. You barely know that it's there.
Yeah.
However, because you have this allergy, I do not recommend. Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, like on my body, I don't find that stuff that has citrus in it affects mm-hmm. my body skin. But face, no. Mm-hmm. I don't even bother to buy oranges or orange juice or nothing like that anymore. I'm just like, I hate seeing these black dark spots, and like it just no. No.
So different people. I met somebody who had like an allergy to mango. So,
and God, a lot so of my sorry for them.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry she couldn't for your loss.
Mango butter, nothing like anything that had mango. So we met her and we were telling her, you know, what's inside, and then she's like, "Oh, I'm allergic to mango." So then she just left. She was all sad because everything had mango inside.
Oh Lord.
Yeah.
Well, I mean that's
it's hard.
Pardon me?
It's hard. Like, I'm allergic to guava, which mm-hmm. is, I don't really care. I don't, like, it's not like I go and get guava juice or whatever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really affect me. But something like citrus is really prevalent. It's everywhere. Yes. And I'm sure that you, like you said, you're using a product and you're like, oh, shit, there's citrus and you can't use it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But, but like, this is good business research because now you don't want to lose clientele, and there might be way more people that are allergic to different things. So it's gonna kind of force you to re-examine how you're making your products. And maybe you have to add another line of products that doesn't have mango in it, and another line of product that doesn't have citrus in it, and find something that'll substitute for whatever the beneficial products, the beneficial qualities of citrus and or mango. You have to find something else to put in there, no?
Yes. So I'm thinking of doing something that has no fragrance or no essential oils, nothing. Right.
Because there's some people who have fragrance allergies.
Yeah, I met somebody who's also allergic to essential oils, so couldn't try anything.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, so that's another... Everyone has their different allergies. Eventually, yeah, we'd like to definitely have no essential oils, nothing. Or even custom products. Okay. So they make their own product.
Oh, okay. But that's, so they can build it. Right.
Yeah, because I know, like, you know, you go to... what is that place called? The yogurt place.
Okay, yeah.
Something I love about it, you know, you go to it and you create your own thing. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more complicated for us, because if somebody just wants one ingredient, we have to get a label for that, you know?
Okay.
So that's the thing that's hard about it. It's like having labels for each person's needs. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Okay. So it might be a little bit more complicated to make the custom product. Well, it's going to be more complicated unless
I write custom on the label and I just...
Yeah, and then you just handwrite whatever the ingredients are. That might be an option.
Yeah, I'm not sure yet, but that's one route we're trying to take eventually.
That is very interesting, because that's definitely something that you don't see very often, if at all. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Keisha Lamptey, who is the co-founder of Nuance Self-Care, which is a Montreal-based e-commerce store for black people. It's handcrafted, natural, vegan, eco-friendly, and it includes both skin and hair products. We do have to take another break. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. This week on Soul Peace Calendar, Naya, a single mother, teaches at a public inner city high school. She is devoted to the success of her students and her teenage son, Omari, when they encounter serious difficulties. This April 12th to 23rd, 2022, attend the English presentation of Pipeline, a Black Theater Workshop presentation at Théâtre La Licorne, 4559 Avenue Papineau, for tickets 514-523-2246 or theatrelicorne.com.
Oh, yeah, tech loose.
My city sleeping, they sleeping. It ain't no secret, they be dreaming. They always dreaming, but what's the reason when I need them? They don't believe it, that's why I'm leaving. Yeah, I'm peacing for something decent. Now homie, peep this. It's not like I don't care for my tan, but when my tick drops, it seems like ain't nobody around. Regardless, I be chopping it down, but when that tree falls, it never makes an audible sound. So I put my axe down across the border. Now everything that I thought of is getting made as an order. I'm getting paid, I'm supposed to try and spread the love around. Don't want to see me shine, so they'll probably try and shut me down. But tell them, wake up, everybody in my city needs a pay cut. Say what? I feel like we could conquer the game. It starts with a change, but seemingly it's always the same. So
yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back once again. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I am here with Keisha Lamptey, who is the co-founder of Nuance Self-Care, which signifies, the name Nuance signifies the variety of skin tones and hair textures that are present in minority communities. That's the nuance part of self-care. And they provide natural, vegan, eco-friendly, inclusive skin and hair products. Keisha, thank you so much for taking the time to be here. Before the break, we were talking about creating custom products and some of the challenges that that poses. Because, you know, you realize that there are folks that are allergic to citrus, and there are folks that are allergic to mango, and folks that are allergic to essential oils. So there's potentially a market for, you know, this kind of custom products. But is it something that is viable? I mean, right now you guys are handcrafting everything. So that's like a lot of manpower, and you're also keeping the cost pretty low. I mean, the products are below $20 each. So how are you gonna, you know, like, suppose you have five custom products, and like how are you gonna market that? Because it seems kind of counterintuitive in that when you're making custom products for one person, maybe they just want one bottle. And like the time and effort that it takes to make one bottle is almost not worth the cost. And especially if you want to keep it, like economically friendly, so to speak. So like how let's use your marketing brain a little bit. Like how would you tackle that issue? Because, you know, sometimes custom products are actually more expensive to make than your bulk products.
Yeah, so it's difficult because we're only two that do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that we would say in the future, right, if we had, you know, employees, if we had like a bigger team, for sure.
When you have a bigger team.
But for now, what we do is we have different flavors.
Okay.
So for example, the body butter, we try to have like a new flavor for, let's say, Valentine's Day or Christmas. Like, we have different stuff.
Okay.
So that if you don't like citrus, well, you have chocolate or you have vanilla or you have something that is newer and it's limited edition, but it's still like, it makes it so that people are more excited once it comes out because it's limited, you know?
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, that's something we do.
Do you have male clients?
Yes. We have. I didn't mention. I have a men's line. I do have a men's line.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So, yeah. So we have a beard serum. And this is really to promote hair growth, to make it easier for you to comb your beard. That's the point of the beard serum. And we also have a wave pomade. So the wave pomade is going to, you know, waves. So it's going to give you the waves.
Oh, like in pomade.
In pomade.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So wave cream. It's really going to...
Wave cream?
It's going to create waves in your hair. So it's like, you know, there's one at the store. I forgot what it's called, but it's like a blue bottle. It's like a wave cream.
I don't know. right.
For men, yeah.
Is it for people with short hair? Men with short hair?
Yeah, it's really like, okay, you know, when you slick your hair back and yeah, you're trying to get those waves, that's what a wave pomade does. So it's really for styling purposes, but it's also nourishing.
Okay.
So that's the point of the wave pomade.
Right. I got me a lot of hair, so.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need a wave pomade, but I always find it interesting because usually when people make self-care products, the focus is always women. And I feel like men is one, we're an untapped market. Two, we care about ourselves too. We're just not given, we just don't have products available to us. And most of the time, products that are available to us are super expensive. Like if you look at, you know, when you find something for men, it's usually more expensive than the one for women. Like clothing, for example. If I want a nice shirt, you know, I'm paying 2-3 times more unless I'm going to Winners or you know, buying that stuff. But sometimes I want to walk into like a Moore's, or I want to walk into, and our jeans are always $80-$90. You know, can't find no $10 jeans. Shoes are $200.
Yeah.
I mean, I find that men's products is always super expensive.
I don't understand why, because it's the same, it's clothing, it's, you know,
exactly,
like, it's marketing, they do that. I don't know why, I think it's unethical.
Maybe it's because you have to use more fabric.
I really, but it shouldn't be triple the price, you know, like you're not 7-8 feet tall, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy that it's that much, there's such a
disparity, gap between
two. Yeah.
And so it's nice to hear that there's like a men's line of products of self-care products. And I think that one of the things that men need to realize is that we need to take care of ourselves on every level as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And I've noticed that men are taking more care of themselves. Like, one thing that, and I wanted to ask you about this, I follow a few, you know, people who are doing the same thing as you, but in different countries, usually a lot in the States. And like, they'll do those videos where they're like, they're narrating over it and they're doing the action. And like, this is what I do in order to this is my facial cleansing routine in the day. And I see a lot of folks putting like oil directly on their face. So they're like, they have this bottle with an eyedropper thing and they drop oil on their face. Like, why are they putting this oil? And then they'll do like a kind of creamy lotion. Like,
mm-hmm.
What is all of this stuff? Like, what are you doing? tell us so we understand.
So that's kind of what I was saying with the facial products that I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
So that is called a serum. And okay, a serum is just oils. So it's a bunch of oils and it's like the last step. So the first step would be, you know, you wash your face with a cleanser.
Okay.
The second step is you would put a toner. A toner is really, people say it's just to balance your pH. I'm kind of still trying to figure out why, because I was not somebody who used the toner personally.
Okay.
So I'm still like researching on like the benefits of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then after your toner, you can put a serum or you could put a face cream. It's your choice. So a lot of people put a serum because it's really going to like add extra oils into your skin, because okay, your skin, like the your face, mm-hmm, is an oil barrier. Right. So in order for things to get in.
What do you mean by oil barrier?
So your cheeks, your entire face,
okay,
the upper layer of your skin is oil, basically. Okay. So because it's oil, the best way to penetrate it is to put oil, a serum.
Okay.
So that's will put serums on their face, actually. Okay. That's one of
the why. Okay, because yeah, I didn't understand. Like, I in my head, you don't put oily stuff on your face. Like,
well,
that was my understanding.
So there's something called when you look at like different oils, they have a rating of I forgot the term, but it basically tells you like how oily it is.
Okay.
So it's a scale. It's kind of like the pH, except right, it's a different thing. So, for example, coconut oil, I think, is a 5.
Okay.
this tells you that it's too oily, like it's too much.
Right.
However, jojoba oil, I think, is like a one. So that's okay on your face.
Okay.
What else? There's jojoba, there's castor oil is also high up.
Okay, yeah. It's higher.
So
yeah.
You wouldn't put that?
No.
But grapeseed oil is zero. So grapeseed oil is really good because it's not going to clog your pores.
Gotcha.
It's called comedogenic, the term. So
okay.
Because it's comedogenic, it's not going to clog your face. And so these serums, they tend to have jojoba oil, they tend to have pomegranate seed oil, they tend to have all the things that are zero or one or two, so that it's not going to, you're not going to break out.
Right.
Because obviously if you put coconut oil on your face, you're going to break out, you know?
You will? Okay.
Well, it's so thick, right? It's a five, and it's for me personally, if I do that, it's like I'm finished.
Okay, so how come it causes a breakout?
For me, I have oily skin, right. So anything I put on my face, I'm like, it's finished. I really need to put stuff that's light.
Mm-hmm.
For most people, it depends on your skin type, you know, but I would say it's the fact that it's a thickness of it.
Mm-hmm.
The thickness of it, it's like creating an extra layer.
Okay.
You know, it feels like I'm wearing a mask when I put coconut oil
okay.
on my face.
So does that have to do with like the body's natural release of toxins and affecting how you're like affecting the, yeah, that's it.